It is the news according to me. Right now. Yeah, it's, it is. This is what it is. It is what it is. Is, it is, it is. Izzy, Izzy, Wizzy, Wizzy. It's after, it's 8:19. It's 8:20. It just turned to 8:20. Eastern Standard Time. Thursday. January 28th, 2021. That's what it is. So, yeah. Yeah, well, that's all I got for you today. That's the show right there. That's the show. I got nothing. There's nothing going on. Nothing to see here. Nothing out there. Nothing in here. Nothing up my sleeve. Nothing anywhere. Nothing to see. Yeah, because they, because there's nothing going on. Yeah. I'll have to circle back. I'm going to circle back for you on that information that you want to know about the news today. I'll circle back for you. That's about all we're getting from Jen Psaki, from the White House press secretary. So there is one thing going on, and it's right here in my little cup. Has to do with hot chocolate. With a little cinnamon creamer in there this morning. I kind of prefer the Cinnabon creamer. That's good stuff. Or just plain old French vanilla creamer. It's good. Any kind of creamer in hot chocolate. If you haven't tried it, you should. There you go. That's the news for the day. It's the most important part of the news anyway. Most important thing I got to say today. So Jen Psaki is she's turning out to be a real piece of work as a press secretary, really handling that press. That's the sad part about it. Nobody's really asking any tough questions, and yet she does not know what she's talking about. Much like the man in charge, Mr. Biden himself. She seems to be an extension of his brain. So, which is not in good health. It is not funny. But it's that's the case right now. So, yeah, we have this, we have a situation, folks. This is going to get serious because what we have actually going on is the dismantling of the economic engine, even beyond where we were. The administration, I'm not even going to talk about Joe Biden because he's not running the administration. He's not the guy in charge. He's not waking up in the morning and deciding what he's going to do today and deciding on his policies. He has no policies. This guy's just doing what they tell him to. It was very telling, and I wish I could find the clip because I'd seen it and I didn't save it, and now I'm upset that I didn't save it. Where Joe basically says, oh, I'm not really sure what I'm signing here. He's looking at the book. He's opening up this executive order book. And he's not really sure what he's signing. And he says, oh, I'm not, first of all, he's struggling with his pen. I don't understand. He's supposed to pick up the pen off this little thing, sign his name, and he's supposed to put the pen back with the signature, with the book thing, and they keep the book with the pen, and it's supposed to be like this thing. It's like a collective item. I don't know if it goes into the Biden Museum. We haven't even talked about the Trump Museum, the Presidential Museum. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Oh, that'll be a place for people to protest. So, the crazy, yeah, that's going to be crazy time. So then we got the Biden Presidential Library. It'll be a really short tour. It'll just be pretty much you just go in one door and then out the next. Just so it's just a little one-room museum because it's only going to be about a week long. And it's going to have these little pens in there that he's, well, except for a couple of them, one of them apparently got away because one of the pens, after he got done signing, he seemed to be a little confused about what he was supposed to do with the pen. And he was trying to put it back in his pocket, and he couldn't get it into his breast pocket. So then he tried to put it in his little suit coat pocket thing that he was wearing, and that wouldn't fit either. So he couldn't figure out how to get the pen in his pocket. He ended up putting his pen in his front, the front pocket, the front right pocket of his slacks. I'll call them slacks, pants, whatever you're going to call them. I call them pants because I wear pants. I don't wear slacks. You can call them what you want, but that's what I wear. So sometimes my pants are short pants, and sometimes my pants are long pants, and sometimes they're just high water pants, and sometimes, maybe right now, maybe I'm not even wearing any pants. Who knows? Nobody knows, because this is just a video, or just an audio thing. It's not a video. Aren't you thankful? You should be, because now I need to take a sip of hot chocolate. That's good. That's good. That's good stuff when it's about 12 degrees outside. So the whole thing is going on here. The thing that's concerning is that they are just on this war path to get rid of any indication that Trump was ever there. I mean, they have completely changed the Oval Office. All the colors are different. Everything's been, it's like it's all been ripped out and changed, and everything's been changed. I think they're putting up the Chinese flag. So they're doing all that stuff. And in the meantime, they are also going back through all the executive orders. He's on a warpath with these executive orders. And unfortunately, so many of these orders were the thing, that was the very thing, that was the magic wand.
Oh, I don't know what magic wand he's got. He's going to make a better deal. I don't know what that's going to mean. What does he mean by that?
Well, apparently, he was able to make the economy better than what Obama could. So we had a very stifled economy as Obama left office in 2016. I think the economy was picking up in the last month or two of his administration after the election, because there was some pretty hopeful, positive thinking about what was going to happen. The market picked up, a lot of things picked up. And there were some, there was all the rumblings of what was about to take place. And so the economy did start to spur up there at the end. And of course, since it ticked up at the end, they learned how to play these games. And then they played this game the night before Trump left office on 2019. January 19th. On January 19th, they have a memorial service for the COVID victims. And it, from the office of the president-elect, it's the night before he takes office, and he's doing and the media covered this whole thing. He's not the president yet. I've never heard of a president-elect, someone who's about to take office, do a formal memorial for anything like that. That's just weird. But then, that's the world we're living in right now. I'd play the Twilight Zone right now, but I can't because this is the wrong. I'm at my home studio this morning, where there is free-flowing hot chocolate. It just comes out of the spigot. It comes out of a hose on the side of the house. So the whole thing goes on with this executive order stuff. And now he's getting sued because of some of the stuff he's done. He's realizing now that one of the issues that he had was he stopped the federal lands. Basically, there's Indian tribes now suing him because of his executive orders. Some of the reversing things he's done, some of the executive orders he's actually put in place. And, the travel ban thing has been an issue because he's reversing travel bans and then he's reinstituting them because of COVID. They keep calling this one travel ban the Muslim ban. The Muslim ban. He's banning Muslim travel to the U.S. No, he was banning terrorist countries from coming here. They just happened to be Muslim. It wasn't a Muslim. It didn't say Muslim banned in the executive order. All it said was people from these particular countries cannot come here right now because there was an extreme high threat of terrorists. Who happened to be terrorist? Who happened to be Muslim? Not all Muslims are terrorists. But most terrorists are Muslims, unless they're domestic terrorists and called Trump supporters. And I suppose some of those are even Muslim, but I digress. It's not about being anti-Muslim, it's about being anti-terrorist. So we got that going for me. That and the hot chocolate. The other stuff that's going on is kind of all just craziness. It's just craziness right now. The economy, because of these executive orders, that's what I'm getting to. Because of these all these executive orders that are coming out, we have a very tedious situation. Our economy is not in a real robust situation, unless you're an investor in GameStop. I guess there's something about that that's going on right now. I don't really understand fully how the whole Reddit thing happened and what all happened there with GameStop and how they really stuck it to the man. I'm not sure exactly what they did there. So they're playing some kind of game that I'm sure is going to bring the SEC in with some kind of regulations or some kind of the EOC or somebody, some kind of PIV, SOC, ABC, QRX, tippy tippy may may. I don't know who's going to, somebody's going to be coming in to stop this kind of thing because the big money guys are not going to put up with this for long. They're the ones who really are the string pullers behind the strings. There's a lot of strings. Strings are hanging out everywhere. It's a very stringy thing. It's a stringy swamp. So they're going to do bigger. They're going to do this. You know they are. So they're going to crack down on that. I don't even know what that's all about. I can't even understand it. I tried. My nephew, who understands this stuff, it didn't even. I can't understand it. He tried to explain it to me, and I. I'm an old man, and I don't understand these young whippersnappers and everything that they're doing now. I just don't get it. Crazy kids, get off my lawn! So that's what we got to deal with. And the other thing that's going on, here's some good news. If you have a chance to watch this guy, there's a YouTube channel. I watch him occasionally. Pretty well-informed guy. He's got a good sense of humor. I rarely disagree with him. And that's important because, you know, if I disagree with you, then you must be wrong. But I think we can all agree that this hot chocolate is good. So, I'm not going to let all of you taste it. I'm just going to have to let you assume it. So the thing about this guy is he wrote, if you get a chance to see today's episode, which is the 28th? Today's the 28th, yes. January 28th episode of this guy. And the name of his YouTube channel is called Mr. Reagan. Now, he's a little bit, you know, he's not a Boy Scout, but he might have been a Boy Scout, I don't know. Who knows? I've never seen him do the little salute, the little, you know, three-fingered thing up there. So, I don't know. But he has a really good segment. And he kind of talks a little bit about Jen Psaki as well. And he's got this, you know how down in the one corner they usually have this is kind of mean, I guess. I don't know, maybe not. They usually have the sign language person down there for the hearing impaired. And instead of that being somebody doing I have to say I laughed out loud when I saw it. And I laughed for a while. And I'm still laughing, I guess. So the down in the right-hand corner, you'll see this little square, you know, where that person normally is. I think he just imposed over it. There's a little video. I think it's Jack Black. I'm not sure who it is for sure. I'm pretty sure it could be somebody else, but look, I think it's Jack Black. dressed up as a as somebody doing like yoga or interpretive dance or something. I don't know what it is. Wearing tights with a beard. It's pretty funny. So if you get a chance to see that, I didn't even notice it at first. Because I was kind of wasn't paying attention to the, and I was kind of doing some other things and I wasn't really paying attention to the video because usually he's just kind of a talking head. So I was just listening to what was going on and Jen Psaki was yakking away. And then I looked down at the screen and I see it's pretty funny. So if you get a chance to see that, I would highly recommend it. Now, the name of his YouTube channel is Mr. Reagan. He's today's sponsor, Mr. Reagan. That's the only commercial you're going to get on this particular program. Because I don't do sponsors. That's what I'm going to keep saying until I get one. Because someday, I'm going to get that phone call. Somebody's going to say, hey, we would like to pay you $30,000 to say our name on your episode. And I'll say, I don't do... Okay. Because in my head, I'm going to be adding up how many hot chocolates I can buy with that $30,000. And that'll pretty much keep me in hot chocolate for the rest of my life. That's all. That's really what's important. Especially living up. Now, if I was living down south, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. It'd be more like sweet tea. Sweet tea would be the issue. It's a different economy down there. You have your hot chocolate economy in the north, and then you have your sweet tea economy down south. And truth be told, I still drink sweet tea up here in the north because... Even though I was born up here, I don't understand why I'm a sweet tea guy. I was drinking sweet tea before McDonald's had sweet tea. Just to give you some idea. So, there you go. I've got some water pipes doing something weird. I don't know if that's coming across on the microphone or not, but it's... There's some interesting stuff going on. So, hearing all kinds of weird sounds. And I'm in a sound booth, so that's kind of weird. I might have a hole about the size of a door, because I don't actually have a door on this thing yet. All the sounds coming in. So now you know what's going on with my life. So that's, so you got that going for you. And, that's really all. That's really all I got about to say about the show today. The interesting thing about the economy is that it's teetering on. I think just the stopping of the border wall alone directly affected about 5,000 jobs. Now they're talking about that. I guess the CBP or CPB or whatever it is, the Council for the whatever Bureau of Fun. I think I spell it with a P. Council Bureau of Fun. CBP, I think, they have determined that it's going to cost probably into the billions of dollars that are going to be lost because of the stopping of the border wall construction, because of all the just the logistics of having to pull everything out and stop everything and everything that's got to happen there. It's a huge undertaking. I mean, it's in terms of manpower and everything that's got to happen, and then just the expense of everything else, the cost of unemployment for all those guys, and a lot of them were union jobs. So there's, not that that matters to me, I'm not a big union guy, but like I said before, I think that unions have their place, but that's as far as I'm going to go with that. So we got that going on, and at the same time, you have the fracking issue now that is basically going to be shut down. You get the Keystone Pipeline, that's being shut down, which is also an issue of some land rights issues and leasing issues. And then you have the fracking issue. Fracking is apparently not a, it was back and forth in the campaign. He couldn't pin down what he was talking about. He would, one day he would say, not going to ban fracking. Next day, we're going to ban fracking. The next day, now I've said it before and I've said it again. I'm not going to not ban fracking. I mean, it's what did you just say? So you got all that going on, and that alone, as well, we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars in terms of our economic situation and jobs alone, and jobs as well. And then you've got the cost to our economy, because here's what's going to happen. I mean, environmentally, it's a disaster, because now you have more oil being purchased outside the country. Now, think about this. The Keystone Pipeline was to eliminate the need for trucking and shipping oil. It was transporting oil and gas, and I don't know what else. I mean, maybe they pipe electricity down through there, too. I don't know. I'm not sure how that works. I don't understand electricity. I think it comes out of the ground. So they have all this stuff to be able to operate the, you know, to be able to transport all these goods in a fairly contained area, in a contained way. I mean, if you understand, if you've ever seen how they do all this stuff, it's amazing in terms of how safe it is. So instead, instead of doing that, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put all that oil on trains and trucks and ships, moving stuff that can get hit by things, or that can run off the road or spill or sink or derail, catch on fire. That's a great idea. I love that idea. Because we're so environmentally cautious. Speaking of environments, we're back in the Paris Accord. The Paris Accord, I guess is what it's called. It's short for something. I don't know. Which is not, it has nothing to do with, Obama himself has said it's not going to make a difference in terms of, it only sets an example. And Mr. Reagan was talking about this morning as well. But it only sets an example to the rest of the world of how we should act. Well, that's great. We're setting an example. But it doesn't do any good. And we've made the biggest strides, the most improvement, even in the last 4 years, for pollution control. But there's other countries that are in it that don't have anything, any issues. It's like, yep, we don't have. Of course, now they lie about all their stuff. Like China. China is a huge polluter. And of course, even the radical left likes to blame us for China polluting, because they say, well, it's because we buy all of our goods from China. So they're producing all that stuff over there and they're causing the pollution there. So we're still the reason for all the pollution in China. I wonder if they make hot chocolate over there. This probably does come from China, actually. I am starting to feel a little funny. So the economic situation, in my opinion, what they're doing right now is setting up a ceiling. This is how I see it. We have an economic ceiling that we are going to bounce off of and head straight for the dirt. So, okay. So that's my positive statement for the day, and I hope you enjoy your week. I'm guessing you're going to see this at the pumps, gas prices, as we begin to pull out. Now, remember, as the economy started to slow down, gas prices went down to like $1 a gallon. That's at least where I'm at. We even saw some places had 99 cents a gallon gas. I know they didn't see it on the West Coast, because they have more than $1 a tax in their gallon of gas, so they can't have got $1 a gallon gas. But we had $1 a gallon gas here for a little while, because there was this backup and this glut of oil all of a sudden, and nobody was using it because nobody was traveling. We had shut down our economy for a little while, so the price had gone down. Now the price has gone back up to about where it was, maybe a little bit higher than it was prior to the pandemic. Now, as we begin to come out of this whole thing and the economy starts to flourish again, air travel is a huge issue. They're still only operating at about 20 to 25% at best. When they start flowing again and transportation needs start to pick up again, if it does, because of this economy, what we're going to see is we are going to see the demand for fuel again rise like crazy. And of course, we are no longer going to be an energy independent nation, an exporter of energy. I don't know if you've noticed or not, But most first world countries base their whole economy on the energy sector. This nation runs on oil. Let's face it. And that's, and oil will, just like steam and coal carried us through the Industrial Revolution and into where we are now, oil will carry us into the next revolution, which will probably be more solar and green and whatever else. So that, I think that at some point we will have transportation ability that is so efficient that we can run it on solar panels, maybe. Maybe. Right now, solar panels are more efficient than an incandescent light bulb. So I don't know how you're going to get more efficiency out of a solar panel, but you could, possibly could. But there's ways of, you know, there's ways of doing things. There's other energy out there. There's plenty of energy out there. It's just a matter of storing it, collecting it, storing it, doing all those things that need to be done. And as we use oil to carry us into the next technological advance, we can overcome that. But simply shutting it down now because of a 20-year threat that the world's going to end in 20 years, which has always been there. I remember back in the 70s when I was in school seeing that Newsweek or Time or whatever it was had on their 20 years will be another ice age because of global cooling. By the year 2000, we will all be, the entire North American continent will be under ice, be snowing. That didn't happen, did it? Now it's 20 years from now, we're all going to be dead. World's going to end in 20 years. And they may not be saying it's going to end in 20 years, but it's going to be saying it's irreversible. Irreversible destruction. We have to change it now. How are we going to change it? Okay, let's change it. I'm scared. How are we going to change it? Let's tell me how we can change it. We're going to tax you. Oh, okay. That'll solve the problem. Tax me some more. Apparently you didn't tax me enough because it's still a problem. We got to tax you some more. The one other thing that they want to do there, I guarantee you this is coming within the next 6 months, because the economic situation, when the economy is roaring and things are growing and you're expanding the economy, the pie is getting bigger. You know, the tide is rising, all the ships are rising, things are getting better. Now, they're also introducing legislation for the national minimum wage, I think, is going to be $15, sounds like. So that'll soon be on our plates as well, which will also cost a lot of jobs. And it all sounds great, but I've seen places where the national minimum wage is, like Australia, where it's $19. It was $19 an hour. It may be more than that now. And let me explain to you how this works. I call it cheeseburger economics. It's kind of hard to say. Maybe hamburger economics. Anything with burger economics is kind of hard to say. So cheeseburger economics, because I like cheeseburgers better. Plain with cheese. A double patty. That'd be great. So what happens here is you have the, okay, so at the baseline, the baseline worker, what they're going to do is they're going to raise wages from whatever it is now. Is it a dollar an hour? I don't know. What is the minimum wage now? I have no idea. Whatever I'm making, that's what the minimum wage is, I think. I'm probably making less than that. So you got the minimum wage, you raise it up to be a livable wage. You have to be making a livable wage. No, you need to get a livable job. There's jobs out there that are not meant to be full-time career, you know. No offense, but there's jobs out there that are not meant to be your lifelong career. Okay, there's step-up jobs. They're the jobs you get to get somewhere else. You know, you need jobs for high schoolers and college kids that are just getting started in the world and need to learn a little bit of something about managing their money. Economics. So they get this mentality out there that, okay, we're gonna pay everybody at a particular, you know, fast food industry $15 an hour. So what does the fast food industry do? Well, we're going to set up kiosks now in our stations, in our restaurants, so that you just walk in, or you can just order it on your iPhone and walk in and pick up your order. They're just going to be sitting there. And the person who was sitting behind the counter that was taking your order and getting your drinks is no longer going to be there, because there's just going to be a cup on the table, and you walk up and pick up the cup, and you walk over and fill up your own drink. I don't know if you've seen that happening or not, but that's happening in most restaurants now. Most of the fast food places. And you can walk in at the kiosk and just plug in what you want. And it pops up over on the corner. And then they've got automatic drink machines for the drive-thru. So they just, that just automatically comes through. And when you place your order, if they enter it into the computer right, which is apparently pretty difficult in some places, because I've noticed they get it wrong a lot. But they just plug it in. And that drink pops up in the next queue, and there it is. And they stick it through the window, and they take your credit card, or if you've already paid with your phone, do that too. So this stuff works without people, and they'll figure out a way to eliminate more people if the price of labor goes up too high. Because otherwise, and here's the way this works, you will be paying. If the minimum wage goes up to $15 an hour, you will be paying $15 for a cheeseburger, because they have to pay somebody $15 an hour to make the cheeseburger, and they can only make so many cheeseburgers an hour, and that's how that works. I was in Australia. Minimum wage there was $19 an hour, and all servers, this is, in this country you have the servers, waitresses, waiters, whatever you want to call them, however it's whatever's politically correct today to call them, the servants. They would come out and, now in this country, they come out and they take care of you, and they don't get paid the minimum wage. They can get paid less than minimum wage because they're getting 10 to 20% on top of what the meal costs. So if you're doing that, if people are actually tipping that amount, you have, potentially they're making $20-$30 an hour, depending on what restaurant they're working at. And then during the slow times, they're not making that much because there's nothing going on, because the business isn't making much money. Because they don't have any customers. So you're making it based on how many customers there are. So if you provide a good service, you take care of that table really well, you will probably get a better tip. And the harder you work and the more tables you take care of, get them in and out, taken care of, and do their order right, and you get a bigger tip. That's the way that works. And I guarantee you, most of the time, if the servers have been servers for very long, they understand that, and they do a pretty good job, and they will serve you, and they're making sure that your meal is you're well taken care of. There are some that haven't figured this out yet. They come and take care of you, take your order, and you never see them again. Somebody else brings the food out. They might pop by the table at some point as they're walking by, say, "Everything okay? Thank you very much." And you're like, this isn't what I ordered, but they're gone. And you never see them again. And then you go to another restaurant, and they're working over there. And somehow they were working at two different restaurants at the same time. So it's one of those things that they've got to figure out. See, the problem here is now that I went to Australia. I keep talking about this Australia trip I went on. I know you all want to hear about it, and I keep alluding to it. But I don't really, it's like dangling that carrot out there, because I know you want to hear about this. So I went to Australia, and I'm sitting at this table, went to a restaurant. This was in Sydney. I was in Sydney because I was at the Sydney Boat Show in Australia. I was there for about 3 days. And then I went over to Perth, which is on the other side of the country. And which is over desert. There's nothing, you think of Australia as a pretty big place, and it's actually, it's about as large as the contiguous USA states, United States, is about the same size as Australia, maybe just a little bigger than Australia. It's about the same. And the United States has about 320 million people. Last I saw, Australia has about 25 million people. But 90% of its population lives along the coastline, because everything in between is desert. That's kind of the way that works. So it's called the Outback, where the kangas live. The kangaroos everywhere. They should make hamburger out of them. So they, and I think some people do, they ended up, so I went to Perth, where I, within, I think within about an hour after being there, I'd been robbed. Everything got taken from me. I was in a car. I stopped with my client at a coffee shop. Coffee shop, marina type place. Everything has a marina because everything's on the coast. So come back out to the car, and someone had busted into the car, taken everything I had. Everything. All my bags, cameras, all my pictures from Sydney, video. This was back in the day when you didn't have the cloud, so it was all on digital tape. He is all gone. Bye-bye. So I had a couple more days to spend in Perth, and then I got to travel back with no bags, which made traveling very easy. So I thank them for that. The thing was, though, that, and I got, at the Sydney Boat Show, I had talked to a couple potential clients there, people who were interested in my product, because I was in the marine industry at that time. I had invented something, and I was manufacturing and marketing this thing. And the client that I was talking to in Perth actually had bought a couple of these items, and so that's why I was going to Perth. So, it's a big mistake. So the at the show, I'm sitting there, and this one guy is talking to me, and he starts talking about why. Now over here, we don't tip waiters over here. Make sure you don't tip the waiters over here, because we pay them. Unlike in America, we pay our waiters a good salary, so we don't have to tip them because they make good money. Oh, okay. Well, I won't tip them then. It seemed kind of odd. I just feel like I need to tip them. They're serving, they're taking care of me. I feel like I need to give them a tip. It's nice, this gesture. But apparently, that's not what you do. So, I figured out why you don't tip them. Actually, there's a better reason why you don't tip these people. They don't serve you. They don't wait on you. You might try to get somebody. They'll sit you down in the restaurant. And you might get them to come out and actually take your order. And because I'm American, I expect to have ice in my soda pop. And I ordered a Coke. The Coke was more like a shot glass. It was just like maybe twice the size of a shot glass. And had like 2 cubes of ice in it. Which is not American at all. They fill it up with ice and barely get any drink. So it's the other way around. And about as soon as you take one sip, it's like, I need a refill. So I'm sitting there, and I get a cheeseburger. And of course, the cheeseburger and fries and a Coke, $25 in Australia dollars. Which is about, at that time, I think, of course, now that's interesting that the Australian dollar is not worth as much as the U.S. dollar, not as strong as the U.S. dollar. I think in U.S. dollars, that was about, I don't know, 15 bucks or something. So, or maybe it was a little more than that, I guess, 17 or 18 bucks. So it was crazy because I ran out of Coke, and I was trying to get somebody's attention, and I had all these servers were walking by. A different server asked me if I needed anything earlier as I was eating. And of course, at that point, it was... So one server took my order. Someone else brought the food out. Someone else checked on me like a few minutes later. And then when I needed something, I couldn't get anybody's attention. No servers were taking care of me because no servers were assigned to any tables. They're just out there serving. Because they don't need to be assigned to a table because there's no tip involved. So I ended up kind of waiting around, looking around, waiting for, you know, I don't like eating my food without something to drink. I need something to wash it down, like, well, something like, you know, like hot chocolate. So I ended up going to the bar around the corner into this little like lounge type thing. I had like a little bar over there, and I held my Pepsi or my Coke out. I said, can I get a refill on this? Is it possible to get a refill? I said, I'm willing to pay for it, whatever it takes. I just would like a little more Coke. Well, yeah. Took my cup. I think it was like 30 or 40 minutes later. Came back with my... It seemed like it was forever. And maybe it's just the way I'm remembering it. Filled it up, brought it back. Went back to my chair and ate my cold cheeseburger. That was fun. And I got done, and I paid my $26, and I didn't leave a tip. Because I wasn't supposed to. And I thought it was one of the worst restaurant experiences of my life in terms of service. It was just, I mean, the cheeseburger was okay. It wasn't great, but it was like something you'd get at like a, I don't know, at a really bad chain restaurant. So that's my experience. And I started learning really quickly about this whole cheeseburger economics thing. And of course, there at the same time, you know, if you went to a fast food restaurant, the prices of sandwiches were really high because the minimum wage was high. So, and everybody, you know, once you got everybody making minimum wage, then the economy settles down into that, and everybody's still not making enough to make a living because everybody has to make more to do other things. You know, you're not going to pay a plumber $19 an hour. But that's their goal is something called equity. And I'll probably be talking about this later on in the show this afternoon. There's a difference between equality. Now, listen to what the words that they are using. Well, in Joe's own, to quote Joe, he said, words matter. Words matter. He's got a little speed. I'll have to get that sound clip because that's a pretty good one because he's starting to use some words now, and they matter, Joe. And I don't think he even understands what he's talking about, which is a big surprise there, huh? So he's using words like equality and equity. There are two different things there. I'm all for equality. Everyone having an equal opportunity. That's great. Your opportunity should be just as equal as anybody else. You shouldn't be discriminated upon against you because you have a Gab account or because you have because of the color of your skin or because you were in a particular political party or because you have a certain religion. Shouldn't be discriminated against because of those things. Or if you drink hot chocolate. So, or if you don't. But if you like tea that's not sweet, I've got a problem with that. So the problem is this equity thing. And this is pure unadulterated communism. And it actually goes beyond communism. This actually goes, I'm going to call it beyond communism. Beyond communism, which I had an echo thing. So the problem is, equality is different than equity. Equity is the equivalent, or just had my boutons go crazy again. Equality is having an equal opportunity. And if I work and put in 100% and do something as well as anybody, you know, as do a really good job, and someone else puts in 100% and they do a really good job and they do an equal amount of job, then we have equity in our outcomes. Maybe not. See, equity is not guaranteed. Equality can be guaranteed. That's a standard. We can say, okay, there's a level playing field here, and we can have equality in our opportunity. We cannot have equality in our outcomes. Everybody's different. Everybody's got different aptitudes, different skill levels, different abilities, different experience. And if I'm going to go out in my shop and build something, and someone else who's never picked up a hammer goes out in my shop to build something, But they have the opportunity because they have an equal opportunity. Give me an hour in my shop and give someone else an hour in my shop who's never been in my shop. That'll be scary. Or someone who just has no experience with CNC equipment or tools or any kind of building or craftiness at all. And let's see what kind of products they can put out and what kind of products I can put out. I guarantee you there will not be equity in what one person can produce and what another person can produce. But yet, that's what they want. They want equity in outcome. And that is not possible without serious problems. One of the biggest problems with socialism or slash communism has always been that if everybody's making the same amount of money regardless of how hard they work, people are, as we covered before, 90% of them are selfish. You might find some people who are driven to do something because of their love for that job. But, and that happens. There is that aptitude, that kind of inclination towards a particular career, particular job, a particular work environment. But there's not this overwhelming sense of, okay, I'm done this for 2 years now, and I'm starting to realize why, you know, I really need to get paid to do this because it's a job. It's not just fun anymore. Everybody wants to be a jet pilot. Guarantee you, after you've been in the industry for a while, living on the road, living out of a suitcase, being away from your family, you start to realize that it's not the flying I'm getting paid for. It's all the other stuff I have to do. The traveling, the being gone. That's what I'm getting paid for. So if you're making minimum wage and you're going to make the same amount of money at a fast food restaurant that you're going to make, because that's what the equity has to do with. Everybody has the same outcome, regardless of what you're doing. So a lawyer is going to get paid the same amount of money as somebody working at a fast food restaurant. That's the pure equity that we're talking about. And that is pure communism. That's the social engineers that are out there want that to happen. And it is, in my opinion, pure evil. Because it causes everyone to be in a state of, I would call it roboticism. You will do the job that the country has recognized you need to do, and you will do it. You're assigned duty, and that's what you're going to get paid, because everybody gets paid the same anyway. Because that's, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. We're just going to tell you where we need you, and that's what you're going to do. Because you might file for a permit to do some other job, but you're going to do this job now because you're in part of this work group here, and you're going to do this, and that's what you're going to do. And they're going to watch over you. And if you do anything wrong, they're going to tell on you. Your work group's going to tell on you, and they're going to kick you out of your work group, and now you're not going to have a job. You're not going to be able to work anywhere. That's what happens. That's what happens in China. In China, where the virus came from. It came from China. So, yeah. Well, so all that said, I'm just going to just sum it up with this. We are headed for some tough times. And economically, I think our country is going to be struggling more than it was at the end of Obama's term. Because of the what has happened with COVID and what has happened here with the economy in terms of how fragile things are at the moment. Now, where would we have been had something like this struck if we had not been a real strong economy? And if it had not struck, where would we be as economically if the plague had not come through here? So that's I'm going to say is just, you know, be aware. Don't spend frivolously right now. Be careful. You know, don't be stingy, but don't. But just be cautious of where you're spending your money. Put some money aside, and be careful. You know, keep your cupboard stocked and your, you know, gas tanks full. And be aware. The next 6 weeks, I think 6 to 10 weeks, are going to be really key to see what's happening with our economy. I think we're going to start seeing the effects of some of the things that are going on in this administration in the next couple months. And probably into, hopefully by the end of this year. And of course, by that point, we'll have a different president probably. And I'm sure that'll be all in the news. That'll be all we're going to hear about. So once again, hopefully Rabbi Rick will be with us today, one day of the week. He's got a real nice part-time job, doesn't he? So he's going to be working with us, or being with us hopefully today, probably producing the show around 4:30, 4 o'clock-ish. So if you want to call in or write in, or if you want to send a mail, snail mail, whatever you want to do, you can do that. You can figure out how to do that. Anybody have, do they still do that? Is the post office still a thing? I don't know. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing and sharing. 574-742-6748. You want to text in or call in. See you later.